This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. There is an investigation underway into racist text messages being sent to people in more than a dozen states, some of them telling them people who are black to report for duty picking cotton on the plantation. The company TextNow, which allows people to create phone numbers for free, says it's looking into the accounts of those involved. In Amsterdam overnight, Israeli soccer fans say they were attacked by pro-Palestinian protesters. Dozens of people were arrested. It's not clear how the violence began. A few rules are being put in place for the next Trump White House now that longtime campaign manager Susie Wiles has been named chief of staff. ABC's Rachel Scott at Mar-a-Lago.
We are told that as part of this agreement to accept this role as chief of staff, Susie Wiles wanted to make certain that she could still play the role of gatekeeper, keeping some oversight over who has control or who is going into the Oval Office, trying to avoid some of the chaos that we saw in the first administration.
This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Rockwell Automation Incorporated Thursday reported fiscal fourth quarter profit of $239.1 million. The Milwaukee-based company said it had net income of $2.09 per share. Earnings adjusted for non-recurring costs came to $2.47 per share. The results surpassed Wall Street expectations. The average estimate of eight analysts surveyed by Zacks Investment Research was for earnings of $2.40 per share. The industrial equipment and software maker posted revenue of $2.04 billion in the period, which fell short of Street forecast. Six analysts surveyed by Zacks expected $2.07 billion. For the year, the company reported profit of $952.5 million, or $8.28 per share. Revenue was reported as $8.26 billion. Rockwell Automation expects full-year earnings in the range of $8.60 to $9.80 per share. Multinational brewer Molson Coors will close the Line and Kugel's brewery in Chippewa Falls. The move will end more than 150 years of brewing in the northwestern Wisconsin city where Liney's was born. Molson Coors will close the Chippewa Falls brewery and Line and Kugel's 10th Street brewery in Milwaukee effective January 17th, according to a company statement. Molson Coors Chief Supply Chain Officer Brian Earhart said the closures are part of a plan to consolidate operations at the main Milwaukee brewery. More than 50 workers are expected to lose jobs in Chippewa Falls, although as of Wednesday, Molson Coors had yet to file a layoff notice with the State Department of Workforce Development. In the statement, Earhart said the consolidation plan comes after the company finished a large contract brewing agreement. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks finally get a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks snapped a six-game losing streak with a 123-100 win over the Jazz. How bad did the Bucks need this victory at home over a young 1-6 Utah Jazz team? Damian Lillard.
I think we needed it bad, desperately. You know, this is a team that came in with the same record as us, a struggling team, a much younger team than us. They coming on our home floor, so, you know, it was important for us to not only get off that six-game losing streak and feel something good, but going into this next stretch of games, you know, I think it was important for us to get back in the win column.
The Bucks are in Madison Square Garden tonight against the New York Knicks. College hoops, a 79-67 win for Wisconsin over the Montana State Bobcats. Head coach Greg Gard.
A good win against a good team that's experienced. You could really tell the maturity of the older guys for them on the floor. Anytime we made a mistake on a screen, it was a three in the first half. Those things will help us.
That's the Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 50s this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low dropping into the mid 30s. Tomorrow we may see a little sunshine early, then clouds and showers with a high in the mid 50s. By Sunday, showers in the morning, ending in the afternoon with a high in the mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a TGIF Friday edition of the show, a board game of the week by our own Aaron Zomers and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy the Music.
Let it be. You know, it's the music speaks for itself this morning.
You know, before we go to the phone line, Sandy, you and I, before thinking, I forgot who it was, might have been Jeannie. We were going to be talking about the fact that women... I predicted that women were going to overwhelmingly vote for Kamala Harris. And I didn't think there was any way possible that women who see Donald Trump as a misogynist, that's who he is. You know, you can say whatever you want to say. His record speaks for itself. That there would be any way that women would say, and there's a woman running, And I remember saying on these airwaves, I think it's time that a woman, let's see what happens. I think our nation could do better. Men, we control everything. And so to have a woman at the helm, we've seen, Sandy, women across the world in charge. They're capable. They're more than capable. Margaret Thatcher and all of those women have done great things sitting down.
Angela Merkel.
And sitting down with the leaders of the world who are men and done great jobs. Is it safe to say that?
Absolutely. And so, you know, what's clear, though, is that a number of ethnic or geopolitical groups voted on some issue other than what was perceived to be their geopolitical interest. And what's clear is that a number of women voted in a manner that would not be predicted if they were to vote simply based on gender, okay, and the gender interest. And I think that's one of the lessons to be learned from this election is that the electorate will defy their demographic interest or perceived interest more than people think, you know, and we need to realize that, and this is true of women as well. Now, like we said before the break, women did vote disproportionately overall in favor of Kamala, but not to the extent
that we thought they would,
and particularly white women voted more of them for Donald Trump than for Kamala.
Let's go to Mary from Wauwatosa. Good morning to you, Mary. You say what?
Good
morning, Earl and Sandy, and thanks for being there for us with your experience and your knowledge. And let it be, boy, those are wise words from Paul McCartney's mother. So my question this morning has to do with the ACLU. I'm receiving communications from this organization that it's going to be there, it's going to be in the forefront of addressing any unacceptable actions by the administration. And so I just want to ask your opinion on how much we can count on the ACLU to be there for the American people.
Mary, as always, it's a great question, because the ACLU may wind up being under attack.
Well, the ACLU has been a long-term important organization, and they have fought for the civil liberties regardless of who they are fighting on behalf of, so that they fought for freedom of speech on behalf of Nazis, you know, because they are indifferent to the cause, only cause being the protection of the constitutional rights and the sanctity of it. So I just hope that they're adequately funded to take on the litigation, which might end up having to become necessary in certain circumstances of, for instance, some elements of Project 2025 being carried out, because they will be definitely, I think, outside the envelope in terms of constitutional law, and will need to be reined in by the courts.
You know, Sandy, this is why this was such an important election, because the ACLU and what it's been able to accomplish over all these different decades is safe to say that Donald Trump and his regime probably not going to listen very much. He's stacking the courts. He's going to stack the federal courts again with right-leaning judges. He's got the United States Supreme Court in his corner. Do you think that the ACLU and entities like that will be hard-pressed to stand up against what we're expecting?
Well, the ACLU operates through the courts. And so they rely on the validity and the reliability of the judicial system. And my hope is that in spite of using partisan measuring rods for the appointment process to the courts, that at the end of this next term, our courts will continue to be above reproach and to be respected. We should all know that the person going into the office of president right now has been someone who has attacked the courts and the sanctity of the courts directly himself. And he's now going to be in a position of appointing people who he hopes will do his bidding down the road. My hope is that the bidding that they'll do will be of the Constitution.
See, Sandy, and that really is at the crux of why this is such a difficult time for many in this nation, because you already know what's going to happen as it relates to us. Listening the other day about how many federal judges he's going to be able to put in place. We've seen the outcomes of the federal judges he put in place before as it related to some of the things he ran.
Well, but to the credit of some of those judges, some of them actually had cases about Donald Trump's behavior before them, and they ruled against him. So, you know, it isn't absolutely predictable, and we can rest our hopes on the fact that the American public generally and the people who reside here and the people who might get appointed to the courts might actually put the Constitution first in their role as president. Judge, for instance.
Well, do you think that person will be appointed by a guy like Trump, somebody who is going to show courage and be steadfast in the rule of law, when that's not what he represents?
You know, I don't know. They're subject to confirmation by the Senate. Now, it is true the Senate will be Republican as well. You know, there's some worrisome prospects here, and these are things that people were warning about going into the election. My hope is that the quality of the human spirit is such that the people who do get appointed will, in fact, put country first.
All right, let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, a couple of points. Just want to drop a big old tab of salt on using the word Constitution when somebody's going to suspend the Constitution, and that's going to change a lot of things. The other thing is everything in a court system will eventually run up if it goes as high as the Supreme Court. You got five puppets in there drawn by strings, okay? And I have vowed to no longer call MAGA morons, frail ego-laid males, whatever their problem seems to be. I'm just going to call them buttercups. So buckle up, buttercups, because it's going to be a bumpy ride. And nothing, his tax code has already said he's going to be taking more money out of your checks. He's already going to, you'll be getting less money back. So all you knuckleheads out there that voted for him, you may reapeth what you sow.
You know, Brendan, and thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, that is, I think, one of the most troubling parts of all of this is that Donald Trump clearly is going to, and if you listen to Elon Musk, he's warning people about, you know,
hardship.
You're going to feel some pain.
Yeah.
And if Tom, Dick, and Mary were already feeling pain, they're going to dig even deeper into Tom, Dick, and Mary.
Well, the problem is that we did elect a lame duck, okay? And we elected a narcissistic lame duck who's only concerned about himself, his power, and his legacy now. And so my fear is that his view of what his legacy needs to be will be directed to him by people like Elon Musk and others who have sort of a revolutionary concept in mind of what they want the American government to look like and operate like. And if his intention is to leave a legacy of profound change, and we can call that maybe breaking something that isn't broken or so very broken, then my fear is that Tom, Dick, and Mary will bear the brunt of it, because by imposing broad tax tariffs and trying to rebalkanize the world economy, that will be very expensive for Tom, Dick, and Mary. It'll be expensive for everyone. But the only people who suffer when prices go up is the middle class,
you know,
because the wealthy have plenty of surplus money. And the all sorts of the programmatics that are being talked about in terms of shrinking the government expenditures by $2 trillion over the next decade, if that's the time period that trillions of dollars of Elon Musk savings are projected for, will have to get into programs that currently benefit Tom, Dick, and Mary. All you have to do is look at the budget, look at discretionary expenditures. And unless they're willing to address the military budget and reduce it materially, what they're talking about is reducing very materially a whole bunch of programmatics, all of which are probably aimed at protecting Tom, Dick, and Mary, and then erasing regulations, most of which are designed also to protect the public.
You know, he sold the people fool's gold. And, you know, you can, and, you know, well, we're going to cut taxes on your Social Security. Well, who wouldn't want that, right?
Yeah.
But there's a reaction to that on the other side, right?
Well, there's a cost.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. You hang on. We'll come right to you.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He's a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy, one of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish.
Experience.
Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
All right. Great choice, Ed. Great choice. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you, Sandy, the music.
Just speaks for itself. It's sort of the mood. Melancholy. Melancholy, and it's sort of the way life goes, right?
Yeah.
Everything doesn't go as you expect, and some of your dreams don't come true, but you go on.
So, Sandy, chicken in every pot.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking, I was remembering this Saturday Night Live, and John left, and he would talk about, he would make things up kind of as he went along. You know, he'd say like, we're not gonna tax tips. Yeah, that's the ticket. And you know what? We're not gonna tax Social Security. Yeah, that's the ticket. And overtime too. We're not gonna tax that either. That's kind of the way Trump's campaign ran this, telling those stories to people, when the fundamentals of taxation are such that those are really strange. I mean, I granted, Kamala Harris jumped on the taxing tips wagon. But when you get into that, first of all, it's complicated, number one. Number two, there's a lot of revenue that's given up in the coffers, and it's got a big cost in terms of either running much bigger deficits that are inflationary or otherwise cutting into a whole bunch of programs that are going to have to be eliminated in order to support that kind of reduction. But what does it do to the system? Okay, let's say tips aren't taxed, okay? Now when you call the plumber to your house, you ask him, how much is it going to cost? He say, well, it's going to cost you $75 for the work, but I'm looking for kind of a big tip if you nudge, wink, wink, if you understand what a $100 tip might look like, because tip income isn't going to get taxed, right? So everyone's going to be pushing everything in the direction of, let's make that a tip, okay? And then it's not taxed. And that's sort of a nudge, wink, wink kind of an economy that can really destroy the social order, actually, in the long run, or at least the economic order, will turn into the kind of dark money cash economy that lots of countries have that they're trying to avoid. Secondly, people who work for tip income get a base pay. Do you think when they go to ask for a raise of their base pay, the employer is going to say, I was thinking of reducing your base pay because your tip income isn't taxed anymore, so it's worth 25% more than it used to be, so why don't you just work on getting bigger tips? Secondly, if you don't tax overtime, everyone's going to want to work overtime, right? And maybe the definition of overtime is going to get defined in a manner that's helpful. Now, one of the things that'll happen is the employer is saying, well, I don't need to pay you double for overtime anymore because it's not taxed. So I'm going to not pay you double, okay? And secondly, everyone will want to work overtime to get that untaxed income, which means that they won't need new workers so very much. So unemployment goes up. You know, there's all the kinds of collateral side effects. And not tipping Social Security, I mean, not taxing Social Security, well, that's just a big revenue reduction. And what is the most stressed part financially of our revenue system right now? Social Security.
So he threw fool's gold.
Absolutely.
Out at people.
That's the ticket. That's the ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Tim from New Berlin. Good morning to you, Tim. You say what?
Well, I'm just I knew it's been a great week. I just wanted to say it was a great week. I knew you guys would be moaning and groaning. I knew you guys would be gloom and doom, and everything's going to be bad, and Trump's going to be a dictator for one day. He was joking. Get over it.
You know,
well, look, this is the blockbuster trade thing I was talking about. We haven't been speculating.
Keep Tim on for. Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
Well, this is what I was saying before. We aren't speculating about it. The proof is going to be in the pudding, okay? We need to be watchful, and we need to find out whether that's going to happen. But Tim doesn't know any more than I know what Donald Trump meant when he talked about that. So, you know, those who support him want to redefine what he said, and those who don't support him want to take it at face value. We'll find out. We'll find out. Was it a blockbuster trade? I don't know.
Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. You say what?
Good morning. Well, I have two things. First of all, and you talked about the women who voted for Trump and, you know, how you don't know how they did it because he's a misogynist. Not only that, he is a convicted rapist. How does any woman square voting for a convicted rapist to be the president of the United States? So on that note, I'm asking everyone out there who's listening to join me in a civil act of defiance, a silent protest, hang your flags upside down for as long as this man is in office.
Thank you very much for the call.
Actually, let me just confess. In his first term, after about 2 years, I did that to my flag in my yard just because, and my flag in my yard is not visible really to anyone else except the UPS man or somebody like that. And it is the international sign of distress. And one day I was sitting in my office in my house, and the knock at the door, I go, it's the UPS man. He leans in, he whispers to me because he wonders if I'm being held hostage or something. He says, are you okay in here? And I said, well, yes, I am. Why do you ask? He said, well, you have your flag upside down. So, I had that idea once, and I made a UPS man very nervous in the process.
855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We're going to continue this conversation on the other side.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. In a significant move ahead of the upcoming Veterans Day holiday, Grant County has announced its participation in Operation Greenlight for Veterans. This initiative, a nationwide effort uniting counties to support military veterans, will see as many county buildings as possible illuminated in green from now until Monday. The aim is to raise awareness about the unique challenges many veterans face and the resources available at the county, state, and federal levels to assist veterans and their families. Now in its third year, Operation Greenlight is a testament to the power of unity. Spearheaded by National Association of Counties and the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers, it builds upon successful efforts by the New York State Association of Counties and the New York State County Veteran Service Officers Association in 2021. In 2023, over 300 counties participated in Operation Greenlight, demonstrating the collective commitment to supporting veterans. In addition to lighting county buildings, residents, businesses, and other organizations are invited to play a crucial role in this initiative. You can show your support by simply changing one light bulb inside or outside your home to a green bulb. The green light is a symbol of hope and renewal. By lighting it, you are sending a powerful message of support to veterans. Your participation is a symbolic gesture and a tangible way to let veterans know they are seen, appreciated, and supported. Together, we can open up conversations about veterans' needs and the services that support veteran communities. Counties and residents across the country are sharing their participation on social media using the hashtag Operation Greenlight. You are encouraged to join the conversation and share your support for our veterans. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Thinking about heading to the theater this weekend? Here are some films that might be up your alley. Hugh Grant stars in Heretic, a film about two young missionaries who knock on the wrong door and end up fighting for their lives in a house owned by the nefarious Mr. Reed, played by Grant. The film is getting mad reviews at 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. Check out another film in wide release this week called Weekend in Taipei. It has kind of a Mr. and Mrs. Smith feel to it, but reviews are very mediocre so far. If you want to get a jump start on your holiday movie watching, you have two choices. Best Christmas Pageant Ever is being released wide and pulling in 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, but has a 100% favorable audience score. Another Christmas film in limited release this weekend is Christmas Eve in Miller's Point, a comedy drama starring Michael Cera and Elsie Fisher, where a family descends on their home for the final time. The film is currently getting an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're scoring at home, that sounds like four winners to me, so let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 50s this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low dropping into the mid 30s. Tomorrow we may see a little sunshine early, then clouds and showers with a high in the mid 50s. By Sunday, showers in the morning, ending in the afternoon with a high in the mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 46.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santa. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Civic Media's own Earl Ingram Jr. will join me. We'll talk about what comes next in the Trump administration. Plus, is Donald Trump our retribution or our reckoning? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying you'll never reach. reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying. Gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. It ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Sandy, who is that?
Miley Cyrus.
That's Miley Cyrus?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, man.
Who knew?
You know?
But it's the lyrics were perfect, and I thought it was a pretty good song.
And she sounds pretty good. I've never really heard Miley Cyrus sing.
I think she has a really good voice, actually. Everyone just attributed all these other things to her.
Non-vocal. I didn't realize she had that kind of talent. You know, it's pretty good. Let's go to Bob from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Bob. You say what? Bob,
just so you know, I vote both sides of that. Okay, I voted Democrat in the past. I voted Republican recently. So what I want to really say is I agree with Tim that I called in earlier, but unfortunately he got disconnected. It must have been bad phone lines. But what I really am scared about, because I have three daughters, two in college. One has a big girl job down in Madison, and my wife's an RN. We're both middle class workers trying to do the best.
Go ahead, Bob.
We're doing the best we can. But what scares me is the terms buttercups, knuckleheads, fool's gold, scare tactics, Tom, Dick, and Harry, tariffs. That scares me.
Scares you in what manner?
It scares me that the left is brainwashing our youth with these scare tactics. Bob,
we've been talking about Tom, Dick, and Mary, first of all, it's not Harry, on this show for years, and all we're talking about is middle-class America and what interests they have in and the problems they face with their middle-class budget and their expenses. And we've been outlining that budget, the cost of rent, the taxes they pay, the utilities they pay, the daycare they pay for, the health care costs they have, and how it is that it puts them in the hole. And so that there needs to be some attention paid to them in terms of figuring out what's wrong with our economy that they aren't sharing as they should share. And actually, most of our show and most of the content of our show over time has been focused just on that. Okay, and don't you agree that your daughters in middle class America have a paycheck to paycheck issue that makes it very hard for them?
Well, absolutely. I mean, granted, one has a big girl job in Madison. The other two are still in college.
Yeah, but I mean, that paycheck-to-paycheck thing, when you analyze why they live paycheck-to-paycheck, which is what we tried to do, you know, it ends up being a bunch of expenses they have. Some of them have a relationship to government, health care costs, and the cost of that being a substantial piece of that.
Go ahead, Sandy.
And rent and other things that are subject to being affected by government policy. So that's why we talk. It's not scaring.
So what makes you think these are scare tactics? Do you think that there aren't people who are struggling, in this society? If you and your wife aren't, God bless you, you're fortunate. But there are far too many people who aren't. That's not scare tactics. Those are facts.
Okay. Can I get a word?
Yes. Go ahead.
Well, we are a struggling middle-class family, okay? That you wouldn't let me finish. But government has nothing to do with rent prices. Nothing.
Well,
Kamala wants that. But no, that you guys give this line of crap that, you know, Trump's bad, the Republicans are money, money, money. That's absolutely not true. And what really set me off, I wasn't going to call in until I heard somebody say, hang the flag upside. Can I finish, please? Is hang the flag upside down. That is a slap to every veteran that has served this country. What I'd like to say from my point of view, what if I would hang the flag or the pride flag upside down? What does that mean?
So listen. So the things you are saying, clearly you are upset. You are frustrated when people push against things that Republicans. If I told you how many times Donald Trump and Republicans have said and done things that frustrate me, I would be a wealthy man. So put on your big boy pants. And so because you guys, Republicans, things don't go your way, do you know how many times many of us were frustrated to hear, especially Donald Trump and others? We had Ron Johnson on these lines several weeks ago, and I asked him if he was willing to accept the outcome of the election. He said, it depends. They asked Donald Trump, it depends. So it's easy for you guys to try to point at things that you claim that Democrats are doing that frustrates you. But I can tell you, if we put together a list of all the different things that have happened and what we've heard from Republicans, they would far outdistance anything that you're talking about.
But this is an interesting call, though, because there was an article in the Wall Street Journal this morning, or a discussion of the fact, and it was written by a fellow from Minneapolis, who talked about how he and his wife were voting against themselves, against the other party, and not for themselves, that it was easier to vote against things than it was to vote for things. And I think that's the case for many, many people. And that's why I brought up early in the show the fact that I thought that in many respects it was the Democratic brand that people were voting against, and that people who are voting against them have an image of the Democratic brand that is upsetting to them. And I think, Bob, you're saying that right now, that basically you're upset by the things that are said and done by people who would ascribe to themselves as being liberals, and that it upsets you enough that you're really voting against them as much as you're voting for some policy that the Republicans are standing for. Isn't that correct?
Andy, that's perfectly said. I appreciate that. I really do.
That can't be a badge of honor, man.
It isn't a question of being a badge of honor. These are the facts that I'm saying that the Democratic Party needs to address, because we are many people in the electorate, when they are talked to, you will find out that they are in many respects voting against the other side as much as they are voting for themselves.
So,
Sandy,
I don't know how that can be. So people who vote against the other side and facts don't matter to them.
Well, but no, they have a perception. And these people who came out of the polling booths and said, I voted this way because I thought America was going in the wrong direction, are talking about the fact that they think that other side presents to them a problem in their mind that suggests that if they're in power, it's going to go some direction.
So Democrats can say the exact same thing about Republican policies and Donald Trump.
They do.
And so that can't, to me, it's hard for me to accept the fact that people, because they feel that way, that somehow that's factual, that stuff is backed by any facts.
But you understand, I was a trial lawyer,
right.
Okay? Perception is fact, okay? Bob's perception that causes him to vote from the standpoint of third parties looking at the vote is a fact, okay? It's not that it's necessarily an accurate portrayal of what liberals stand for, or whether they should be something that people should be upset about. The fact is that people are upset about it, or that people are repelled by it, or people are motivated by it. And these are the kind of facts that we have to take into consideration when we're formulating messaging, when we're formulating policy, when we're trying to communicate to people. If you want to communicate to someone, you can't have them start out by thinking that there's something basically wrong with you.
So, Sandy, there are two sides to that coin.
Absolutely.
So the Democrats who see what they see from conservatives, from conservative media, and why so many Democrats were frustrated with what they saw and voted clearly against all of that, because they're saying, this just makes no sense to us. This is not rooted in anything that makes sense. And now we're supposed to understand the other side of this?
Well, yeah.
Like Bob and what Bob is saying, which to me is really nonsense.
Well, like I said, it all depends on whether we want to be successful or not.
Right.
If we want to ignore the realities of how people are thinking, you know, if what I'm saying basically is that in some respects, politics is a negative smell test, and the people who smell the worst don't do well. And for some reason, in this last election, Democrats smelt worse than Republicans.
Let's go to Jane from Oshkosh. Good morning to you, Jane. You say what?
Good morning. I am so grateful for your perspective. My husband has said you got to listen to them, and I have. Now, there's a documentary called Bad Faith, and the challenge is, the Christians have been co-opted into Christian nationalism, and they think what they're doing is good. And until we can hear what caused them to go in such a perverse direction in their Christian faith, Jesus would be wanting us to help the poor. He would not be out there calling cats and dogs are being eaten when that was the furthest thing from the truth. I mean, that should have been a wake-up call to everybody just in that, let alone the 35,000 lies that Trump said while he was in office and the hundreds of thousands of people that died from COVID and that, oh, vaccines cause autism, which is utter nonsense, because Steve Lieberman, in his book Neurotribes, and if you go to the podcast of Fresh Air dealing with autism, you'll realize it's utter nonsense. And the reason that we don't use one of the terms for autism today is because he was persecuted by the Nazis. He was not a Nazi. And those things that Nazis did were done to people of his clinic. And we just have people living in a delusion, unfortunately. And they will wake up because of his fruit, of him. You know, you can't get good fruit from someone who spews out of his heart such venom, ugliness, anger. He's tapped into people's fear and anger. And unfortunately, they listen to that more than a quiet spirit of, you know, we're supposed to be about loving everybody. Especially those in need. So that's my two cents. If you want to talk more, I'd be glad to.
Hey, Jane, I wish we had more time. Thank you very much. And tell your husband, thank you for letting him, you know, about us. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Great show as always. Your caller, a couple of callers ago, talking about how the left is scaring the children and from what they're saying, and the right saying that, like your last caller, that Haitians are eating the dogs and the cats and all that stuff, and they're rapists and they're murderers and all that. No, that doesn't put 1 ounce of scare into a child, does it? Another point with Trump and what he talks about, especially his tariffs. All you got to do is Google the Smoot-Hawley Act of 1930, and that was the same thing. They put tons of tariffs on goods, and that boomeranged, and that was one of the biggest issues of the Great Depression, was them pulling off that stunt. So if we want to, you know, we think that history repeats itself, well, there's the history we're going to be repeating.
Hey, Tom.
And just the other thing.
I wish I had more time, man. Thank you very much for the call. Guys, hang on.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention.
Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It was time to make our own Christmas traditions. For years, we've been trekking to both sets of in-laws, both Christmas dinners. It was just too much. So this year, we started to look for a place to get together in Alexandria, Minnesota. Christmas lights that will light up our kids' faces. A new adventure. Create some wonder. It makes us wonder, why didn't we do this sooner?
Start planning your time together in the Lakes area. Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else. Right?
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
On a warm summer's eve, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Sandy, the music.
Just to, once again, take our medicine. That's the way gamblers have to deal with it as well.
All right, let's go to Ann from Chippewa Falls. Good morning to you, Ann. You say what? Ann, you're up. Okay, let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Hey, you know what? It's obvious to me that the right-wingers have won the election for the GOP. The messaging machine that they have put together is very mature, very well-organized, very well-funded. And when it creates the sheeple effect, like we've heard from several callers in the last few minutes, it's obvious that the information, by all standards, the information would favor our position, you know, the left, if you will. The facts support us. The numbers support us. So I'm of the opinion that because of the strength of the messaging from the right-wingers in the divide, little things like billionaires making 87% more. They had an 87% increase over 4 years in their wealth. The problem we have here, and we hear this from your callers, other callers, is their economic inequalities, the economic uncertainties, paycheck to paycheck, you referred to it earlier. We're seeing all the gains going to the top. It's really that simple. And yet we don't hear this on any of the media, none of the MSNBC, CNNs, nowhere do you hear about, again, the failed trickle down that has caused this huge, huge income gap. And that's, I think, that what won the election for the Republicans this year is just that fact. They've won the messaging. And the left has not come up with a response yet that is even close.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. I wish you had more time. Let's go to Ann from Chippewa Falls. Good morning to you. You say what?
I want to mention the last caller a couple times ago, Bob. First of all, Bob voted in the worst interest of his daughters. That's the first mistake. And now he's saying that Trump has nothing to do with prices. This is what they voted on, the economy. So I'm confused with Bob. And the right knew all about Trump's tariffs. He made it very clear. And as far as the left, I have to say I heard all positive messages on the left. We need to educate people on how to be for humanity and what that looks like, because that's what we're losing in this country is character, humanity, and what this world should really look like.
Hey, Ann, that was very well said. Very well said. Thank you. Jeff from Green Bay.
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I'm going to throw a wrinkle in the whole system. I say the Democrats should capitulate and actually announce whatever Trump wants, he gets, and do it legislatively. One government. And when they realize what they're actually going to get, then people will wake up. Otherwise, it's a losing battle forever, just like it's been this way for 50 years.
Hey, Jeff, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, Tony says, Bob just explained to us why Harris lost. We do well to think about how to reach someone like him.
Absolutely. That was my point. It's not the rationality of why somebody does something. It's the fact that they do something for a reason that's important. We have to listen, and that's why it's so important that we listen to people and then decide how it is we can converse with them and message with them in a manner that might persuade them of something else. You know, he actually accused the Democrats of exactly what the Democrats can probably justifiably accuse the Republicans of, which is scaring people, right? The Republicans ran on a scare campaign.
Yes.
And yet they were instructed by Donald Trump in some subliminal process to gaslight that claim, that into an accusation against the other side, and they bought it. Okay, now it isn't important that it's irrational. Well, I guess it is important that it might be irrational that they bought it. But what's important is that they bought it, and then we ask ourselves why. Why are people willing to ascribe that kind of reasoning or to exercise that kind of reasoning or non-reasoning in order to justify to themselves how they vote, and why is it that they're really voting the way they vote? And I think Bob was honest. He was voting against Democrats.
Even at the expense of maybe hurting his own family.
Well, there's the promise of benefiting a family maybe has been lost with dark money and the way Washington has operated. And so, like we've said before on the show, Tom, Dick, and Mary haven't had a lot of help along the way. The Biden administration didn't do a very good job of messaging to them all the good things they were trying to do for them. And so, you know, yeah.
All right. Thank everybody. Sandy, thank you for a great week. Thank everybody who made the show go. Up next, Jane Madner, Greg Bach, Madner on air. Take a breather. See you guys on Monday.
You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting. When the dealing's done, you got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild guest hosts the Maggie Dawn Show, and he'll be joined by Terry Barr for what's good local and overlooked in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.